Amen. It is good to be able to come and to sing praises unto God, to give as He has allowed us to prosper, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and to hear another portion of His divine and holy word. It is always good to have a lost sheep come back to the fold. We are thankful for Sister Ayanna, her coming back to the fold on this morning. Let's once again continue to pray for her that she may be strengthened and do the things that are right. On this morning, I would like to talk to you on the subject of friends and family. Friends and family. You know, we hear different people, different groups have a friend and family day in a worship service. Some members of the Lord's church or some congregations are doing the same thing. We're not going to set a special day aside to invite friends and family to worship. We should be doing that every day, every week, inviting them to come and to hear God's word, trying to set up a study with them so that they may understand what they are supposed to do. But as I ponder this topic, friends and family, I tell you from time to time when I preach, I start with myself and go to the back of the room, which that is today Brother Brown and Brother Hurd in the back of the room. I don't know which one is setting back the feathers. I think Brother Hurd, he seems to be so relaxed back there. But we are going to talk about, and there's Brother Richard. So those three are back there in the back. I'm up front, and everybody in between. This lesson is for us. When we talk about friends and family, we don't always do what we're supposed to do. We don't behave ourselves the way we need to behave. We don't say the things in which we need to say. So what should we do? We should change. We should change. The scripture reading from 1 John chapter 4, it talks about love. Love is a four-letter word that a lot of people are afraid to use. And there are many that use the word love but are afraid to show. We have to understand love is an action word. The Bible tells us that God is love. He showed that to us all. He says that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We read there in 1 John chapter 4, and it talks about that individual, that person that says that I love God, but yet hate his own brother. How is it possible? How is it possible? I would like to tell you this morning, it is not possible. Not possible to say that you love God and hate your own brother. It's not possible at all. Yes, you can say I love him all day long, but does he love you? I believe that we need to know and understand that God is love. And when we do the things that God wants us to do, we too are showing our love, not just to him, but to our fellow man. And we need to continue to do those things. So we're gonna examine some things this morning. And I want you to look at your lives as I look at mine. And I want us to figure out and see what we're missing with our family and our friends. Honesty is the best policy. Could we not all agree on that? That honesty is the best policy. We should never have to ask someone, will you tell me the truth if I ask you a question? We should never have to do that, but yet we do. Be honest with me. Tell me the truth. Well, what do you expect out of people? What do you want them to do? What have they been doing towards you? For the man that lies and lies and lies and continue to lie, maybe you would have to ask him this. Maybe you would have to say to him, be honest with me when I ask you this question. But for a person that has not made it a habit to lie, you should not have to ask him that. You should just ask him a question and let him give you the answer. In the book of Proverbs, the chapter is 12 and the verse is 22. Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse is 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. The one that's acting faithfully is the one that's telling the truth. The one that is behaving himself in a manner that it would not bring dishonor upon the Lord's church or the Lord's name, but that would bring glory. We look at it, we talk about from time to time, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We look at that, and this is what it's talking about here, acting faithfully, doing the things that are right, doing what is right. So honesty is the best policy. If you tell a lie, you have to remember the lie that you told when that question is asked to you again. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to tell it that same lie in a different way. But it's still a lie. So we have to understand that honesty is the best policy. So let's be honest with our family. Let's be honest with our friends. And must I, say this, that let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not lie to ourselves. Let's tell what is right, and let's do the things that are right. And we look in the book of Psalm, chapter 34, verses 1, 2, 3. Then we need to count our blessings, because there are many things that we have been blessed with. When we look at the things that the world has, and we sometimes long to have those things, they have been blessed with those things. But when we start talking about counting our blessings, we're looking at and trying to get a grip on and an understanding of what all God has done for us. He's allowed us to live another day. He's allowed us to awake. He's allowed us to come into His presence, to sing praises unto Him. He has allowed us to do these things. We need to count that. What has God done for you today? You know, the world, they are so caught up in all their activities, and they're saying, God has blessed me with all these things. Yes, He's blessed you with them, but yes, He's also blessed someone else with them as well. But when we start talking about blessings that God has blessed us with because we are His children, we have something to be thankful for. The people in the jailhouses, they're blessed. I had the opportunity to go see my brother when I was home, and I looked around. Everybody that was sitting in that room that was in confinement, they had on all this nice white uniforms. You know what they're blessed with? They're blessed with clean clothes. They're blessed with running water where they can go take showers there. And I didn't see not one person in there that looked like they was missing a meal. They're blessed with food on their trays every day. But we started talking about true blessings that come from God. We really need to be thankful. Thankful for what He has done for us by sending His Son to die upon the cruel cross of Calvary. That is something that we have been blessed with. Let's be thankful for those things. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. See, there's no harm in telling what God has done for us. When God has answered a prayer for us, there's no harm in telling the next man about what God has done, because that should motivate them to pray to God as well. Amen. We need to be thankful. We need to understand that we can be happy in these things, and as we continue to bless God, praising Him, that He's worthy of all that we have to relinquish unto Him, because He's given us all. Let's continue to count our blessings. You know, that hymn that we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. I told you before, try it. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. You can talk about how good your homes are. You can talk about how fine your automobiles are. You can talk about your family. You can talk about these many things that God has given us. Talk about your job. But there is going to be a time where you're going to say, you know, there's other things. I just can't remember what God has done for me, but I know that He's done those things. Some of us in here, not, I'm saying some of us now because I'm at that age now, some of us have forgotten more than some would ever know. Amen. About the blessings that God has given us. And we fail to share these things with other people. And we fail to share them with other people. We fail to do or handle our responsibility. That is to let people know about the goodness of God. So count your blessings. Count your blessings. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. This is a problem that many, many people have. Forgiveness and forgetting what you have forgiven. I believe that as we look at the scriptures and we think about our God once again, think about how good God is, how gracious God is, how God has forgiven people and forgotten about those things. He will remember them no more, the scriptures tell us. The things in which we repent of, the things in which we give over to Him and strive to move on toward perfection, God does not remember those things. So we need to understand the importance of forgiving and forgetting. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is God? Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. Who is a God like you? That's the question. And here's what we're striving to do. This is what we're striving to be. We're striving to be more Christ-like. That when forgiveness is sought after and we say, yes, I forgive you, that we need to understand the importance of forgetting about the past and moving on toward the future, living for the present, doing what we know that God would be pleased with. So when we think about forgiving and forgetting, there are so many people that say, you know, I'm going to forgive him, but if he do it again, that's none of your concern, is it? If he do it again. Your concern is forgiving him. We can't forgive someone that does not ask for forgiveness. But when forgiveness is sought after, we have a responsibility to forgive. In Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 20. Matthew 18, starting with verse 20. Well, let's go back up, I'm sorry. Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. See how good forgiveness is? If he listens to you. If he listens to you, the Bible says, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, where two or three are together on earth, about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them. Can you see the importance of forgiveness here? You know, the people that God was referring to in the Old Testament, those were his people. They were sinning against him. But when we find ourselves, when we are found to be sinning against somebody and they come to us and they let us know, I have this fault against you, let's ask them to forgive us. And when that forgiveness is granted, let's forget about that situation and move forward. There's so many people, they can't get around it. They can't get over, he has wronged me, she has wronged me. And there's no way I can find in my heart to forgive them. God found in his heart to forgive you. Why come you can't do the same? We need to understand what the Bible teaches. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and tenderhearted toward one another. Kind and tenderhearted. You know, are we willing to be kind to people? Are we willing to say, this is my brother, this is my sister? Are we willing to say, we are family and we're going to do the things that are right? Why? Because I want to be pleasing in the sight of God. I want to be found faithful unto Him. I want to be found, you know, to be one without spot or blemish on that day. I want to be one that is told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You see our example? Our example comes from God. And when we look at the Word of God and we apply it to our lives, we can't be nothing but right. Forget what the world says and think about how God is viewing you right now. Is He viewing you to be one that is honest? Is He viewing you as one that is counting the blessings in which He has given to you? Or are you one that is willing to forgive and forget? Does God see that? Or as he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to grant your petition right now because you have not done what you're supposed to do. You didn't leave. You knew that you had this problem. You didn't leave your gift at the altar and you didn't come to me or you didn't go to that person to get it right. Is that what God is saying right now when we ask for something from Him? Are we kind and tenderhearted toward one another? Or are we? Keep your promises. In the book of Romans chapter 4 and the verse 21, keep your promises. You know, we've broken many of promises. We've said things, you know, oh man, and we thought about it after we said it. It was too late. You've already said it. You know, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't really mean I would do that. What did you mean? What exactly did you mean? When you have told your family that you was going to do one thing, but yet you did something different, what did you mean? When you told your friends, you know, I'm going to always be there for you, but when they really needed you, you were nowhere to be found. What did you mean? What did you mean? I believe we need to understand that when God has said something, He meant what He said. And He says exactly what He means. He don't have to go back and say, you know, I didn't mean that. But we do. We have to go back and try to explain our way out of situations that we've gotten ourselves into. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now, have you ever said you were going to do something, but yet the person that you said it to knew good and well that you weren't going to be able to fulfill that? You wanted to make yourself look good, maybe you wanted to make yourself look bad or something of that nature, but yet you knew in your mind that you weren't going to be able to fulfill it when you said it. But you said it anyway. The things that God has said, God has kept and will continue to keep. Are we willing to make that in our minds today? That when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You don't have to come back and question me about it. But there are times where we do. We have to go back and remind somebody, did you not say you was going to do this? Did you not say you was going to do that? Well, the thing is, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Scriptures are clear once again on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Are you going to do it? I'll do it. Or you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Keep your word. That's what it really boils down to. Keeping your word. We sign contracts all the time and we break them. We speak words. We make covenants with people and we break them. Promises. I'll be there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Never found to be keeping your word. Like the little boy standing by the door waiting on someone to come pick him up. It's a sad feeling to see that child hurt because someone has lied to him or her. It's sad. Marriages that are just torn apart because of broken promises. It's sad. jobs fell in because the employee didn't do what he was supposed to, or the employer didn't do what they were supposed to. It's sad. So we need to keep our word. One of the things that we need to remember as we look at all these different things about friends and family is prayer. We need to continue to pray one for another that we may remain faithful unto God. We need to continue to pray. Comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse is 18. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. Are we willing to comfort one another today? Are we willing to be the people that God wants us to be? It's a great question, and all we need to do is answer it. And as we answer it, let's make sure once again that we are who God wants us to be. That we're not going to move to the left nor to the right, but we're going to keep moving forward. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. Words of comfort sometimes are hard to find. But does not God give them to us right here? Comfort one another. Let's go back up to verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now I'm going to stop there before I read verse 18 again. As Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica here, that's exactly who we need to consider, the church. The ones that are doing what they're supposed to do. The ones who have died faithful in the Lord. That is what we need to consider. Because there are times where we can't give you any comfort in words when you have not lived the way you're supposed to live. Or that person has died in a fashion that God was not pleased in. But here's what it says in verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So we encourage one another today that we may keep our lives in order. Amen. That we may continue as children of God to be honest with our family and with our friends. That we continue to count our blessings. You know, I was telling someone the other day, and we talk about our family. When we talk about, you know, how our children are doing, we talk about, you know, how successful they are in life. And I just told this man the other day, he was talking about his son, and I mentioned about my two boys, and I said, you know, I have something to be thankful for, and that is that my two boys are still living. Amen. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they're still living. There's time for them. And you know, when you think about that, there's comfort in that. That one day they may wake up and they may realize how important it is to serve God in a fashion that He is pleased in. And I have to say that last part, in a fashion that He is pleased in, because there are many people out there that say that they're serving God, but yet, is God accepting their worship? The answer would be no. No. Because they're not looking at the Word of God. And they're not doing these things in which we looked at this morning about being honest. About counting your blessings, about forgiving and forgetting, about being kind and tender-hearted to one another, about keeping your promises, or about even comforting one another. See, we need to consider these things. And as we come to the thing that's going to wrap all this up, is to love one another. To love one another. It's easy to say, isn't it? But you know, there was a time where this word would not come out of certain people's mouths. They wouldn't tell that they love one another. They didn't know how even to express love. See, love is something that is taught. And when you're taught how to love, you should never, ever cease to do so. God so loved the world, once again, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That sheet that was passed out this morning talking about fruit. You know, these things right here, this is some fruit that we show here. We show honesty. We count our blessings. We're thankful for what God has done for us. We have this thing now in our lives, this place in our lives, in our hearts where we can say, I can forgive because I realize I have been forgiven. We can do those things. But let's go back and read 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 21 once again. And let us see, we're doing what we're supposed to do. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Simple definition, isn't it? You know, what is love? God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. For this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what's keeping us today from loving? What's stopping us from demonstrating this in our lives? Tell me, what is it? It is something that we have to deal with. It is something that we have to realize and come to reality to. That we are not who God wants us to be because we're not doing what God wants us to do. There is no fear in love, he says again in verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. But whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. You know, there's no one that can teach you love that has not loved before. Can't do it. So what we do is we look at God's word and we find out, what did God do in order to show his love for us? He gave his only begotten son. He gave him because he loved the world. What are we willing to give back in exchange? If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? A liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Can't do it. You can't get around what God's word says. You know, you can fake it for a little while, but the truth is going to come to the top. Whatever's done in the darkness is going to come to the light. You know, let's not pretend that we're somebody that we're not. Amen. Let's be who God wants us to be. Amen. Verse 21, it says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Must love his brother. It's not, you know, I'm not going to love you. Must love his brother. Now again, who is your brother? You know, that one that is doing what the Father want him to do, that is your brother. That is your brother. Now we can go back and talk about our biological families, and we can look at how there's no love there. And you ask yourself, why is there not love in that family? Because there's no honesty. There's not anybody that can count the blessings that God has given to them because they're living a worldly life. That they cannot forgive and forget. They cannot be kind and tenderhearted. They cannot keep their promises. They can't do those things. They cannot comfort you because they themselves need to be comforted. Therefore, they're not going to love one another. There's always going to be some hatred there, some bitterness there, some envy and some covetousness. Those things are going to be there. But when we teach them God's way, and they put Christ on through the watery grave of baptism, then they can truly say, I love God and my brother. We can truly see it at that time. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one. We want to encourage you to make that comment, to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, then rising to walk a newness of life, being who God wants you to be towards your friends and your family. doing what is right until the very end. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We encourage you to come back to the fold. We're encouraging you to come and to confess your faults. The Bible is true. God is just. He will forgive you if you confess. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So there's nothing that you have done that God will not forgive. You just have to do it. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.